Good morning. We will call the February 23rd meeting of the Bay Area Air Quality Management District Mobile Source Committee to order. Madam Clerk, would you call the roll, please?
On the roll for the Mobile Source Committee meeting of February 23, 2017, Director Canepa.
I'm here.
Director Groom, Director Hudson.
Here.
Director Ju, Director Kaplan.
Here.
Director Kim, Director Miley. Committee Vice Chair Haggerty, Committee Chair Mitchoff.
Here.
We do not have a quorum.
Thank you. We will move forward with the agenda after we do the Pledge of Allegiance. If you'll rise and please join me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Is there anyone here who wishes to speak under public comment on anything that's not on today's agenda? Seeing none, staff has asked that we move to item 5. Mr. Breen, is that you, or is that you, Mr. Broadbank?
This will be Mr. Chen-Fen Wong, who's our supervisor in the SID division. The Air District Grants Overview is where we give you an idea of the funding that we programmed last year in our what we like to call our perennial programs, the programs where we have guaranteed funding for the next couple of years. We talk about the results of that, and then we give you a roadmap to where we see allocations for the upcoming year. So, Chen-Fen, if you don't mind.
Thank you, Damien. Good morning, Chair Mitchoff and members of the Mobile Source Committee.
Just some technical difficulties, let's see. All right.
Oh, there we go.
Okay. Here we go.
Thank you.
There we go.
In this presentation, I will be providing a summary of the results of the 2016 grant programs, including background information on each of the funding sources, the amount of funding that was awarded by project category, the results, and estimated emission reductions. Then I'll be discussing how the grant funding was distributed by project category over the past 5 years. And I'll be concluding with our funding projections and a summary of our new initiatives for calendar year 2017. In calendar year 2016, the Air District awarded approximately $70 million in grant funds to projects that will reduce emissions from mobile sources. This funding is comprised by our four core renewable grant programs, which include the Common Air Program, Mobile Source Incentive Fund, or MSIF, the Transportation Fund for Clean Air, or TFCA, and the Goods Movement Program. I provide more background information on each of these programs in the next few slides. Out of the $70 million, approximately $9 million was a pass-through to the 9 county program managers in the Bay Area. So for the purpose of this presentation, I mainly be focusing on the results of the $61 million that was awarded directly by the Air District. Finally, approximately 63% of the $61 million was awarded to projects that will directly benefit community air risk evaluation areas, or CARE areas, which are the communities that are exposed disproportionately to higher concentration of air emissions and air toxics. As I mentioned earlier, the Air District has four core renewable grant programs, which accumulate funds annually via fees and bond sales that are distributed to the Air District and constitute the Air District primary grant programs. Both TFCA and MSF revenues are collected from a DMV surcharge on vehicles registered in the Bay Area. TFCA collects $4 per registered vehicle, generating about $22 million each year. And as I mentioned earlier, 60% of these funds are awarded directly by the Air District, with the remaining 40% being passed through to the 9 county program managers. The Mobile Source Incentive Fund revenues are collected from a $2 fee on each vehicle registered in the Bay Area and generate about $11 million per year. The Common Air Programs is a partnership between the California Air Resource Board and California's 35 local air districts, and is funded through tire fees and small impact vehicle registration fees. And finally, the Proposition 1B Goose Movement Emission Reduction Program was also a partnership between the California Air Resource Board, Air District, and Seaports. And these programs were developed as a 5-year short-term program that was that aimed to quickly reduce air pollution and health risk from freight movement along California trade corridors. In addition to these 4 core funding sources, staff also seeks out additional funding opportunities, such as state and federal agencies, reformulated gasoline settlement fund, and Volkswagen settlement funds. These funds are also used to further reduce emissions from mobile sources in the Bay Area. And I'll cover this topic later in this presentation. As I mentioned earlier, in 2016, approximately $70 million was awarded by the 4 primary funding sources. Out of the $70 million that was awarded last year, nearly $28 million was awarded through the Goose Movement Program, showing in light blue on this chart, and about $26 million awarded through the TFC, which includes both the 60% of TFC directly awarded by the Air District and the 40% awarded by the 9 county program managers. And about $17 million was awarded through the Moyer and the MSIF fund, showing on this chart. In terms of distribution among the 9 counties, we see that the $61 million was awarded to projects that benefit each of the 9 counties in the Bay Area. Overall, the distribution by county is close to the percentage of population in each county. I'd like to mention that all of the grants that are offered by the districts are voluntary and often only cover a portion of the overall projects. So for that reason, the distribution of funds by county varies by year to year, and that's also based on the locations of failing project sponsors. Next, I'd like to go into more details about each of the funding sources. I began with the Comoyer program, which is a volunteer grant program that reduces air pollution from vehicles and equipment by providing incentive funds to private companies and public agencies to purchase cleaner than required engines, equipment, and emission reduction technologies. Technology and equipment include on- and off-road vehicles, equipment, school buses, agricultural equipment, marine vessels, and locomotives. The Air District awarded about $8.3 million in Moyer funds last year, with about $60 million going towards off-road projects, such as agriculture and construction equipment, and the remaining funds went to support on-road replacement and marine projects. Regarding the Mobile Source Incentive Fund, the MSF provides grants to public and the private sector for projects eligible for Moyer program, vehicle scrappage, and agriculture assistance programs, and also for projects to reduce pollution from school buses. In 2016, $5.5 million went to support the district's vehicle buyback program, and $3 million went to the Cochrane electrification project. For the Goods Movement program, we are currently in the fifth and final circle of this funding source, which offers grants to upgrade or replace diesel freight movement equipment, including trucks, locomotives, hovercraft, cargo handling equipment, and the electrification of shipbuilding. In 2016, nearly $17 million of Goods Movement funds was awarded to projects that will replace on-road trucks. And the funds were also awarded to replace transportation refrigerated units and cargo handling equipment and locomotives. In terms of TFCA, as I mentioned, that this presentation focuses on the 60% of the TFCA funds that are awarded directly by the Air District. And in 2016, the Air District awarded about $16.5 million in TFCA funds, with the majority of that funding goes to support the deployment of electric vehicle charging stations and the shuttle and the ride-sharing projects. The district also provided funding to support the district enhanced mobile source inspection program, the spare air program, and the vehicle buyback program. In terms of results, in 2016, the Air District made strong progress in its effort to accelerate the deployment and commercialization of zero-emission vehicle technology. The funding discussed in this presentation helped to install more than 600 new Level 2 electric vehicle charging stations and 46 DC fast chargers, as well as 41 light-duty and 61 heavy-duty trucks and buses. And we also made great strides in our pilot trip reduction projects. The district awarded more than $2 million funds to support the deployment of 99, close to 100 electric shared autonomous vehicles, which will be deployed in the next year in Contra Costa and Alameda County. Also, the district made its first allocation funds towards the culture electrification project and awarded $13 million. That is of the $20 million allocated to support the culture electrification project. In terms of emission reductions, the $61 million allocated by the Air District are expected to reduce more than 500 tons of criteria emissions annually, so per year. As long as the projects exist, those projects will reduce emissions. What does that mean? Emission reduction in calendar year 2016 are equivalent to permanently taking nearly 1,300 heavy-duty diesel trucks off the road in the Bay Area. In terms of light-duty passenger cars, this emission reduction are equivalent to permanently taking more than 100,000 light-duty cars off the road. This represents about 2% of the Bay Area vehicle fleet. In terms of greenhouse gas reductions, those projects are expected to reduce more than 71,000 tons per year of CO2. Note that for CO2, not all programs report CO2 emission reduction. So this number is only a conservative estimate. This slide shows grant funding allocation since 2012, so for the past 5 years, and the types of projects that we have funded in that time frame. This chart represents nearly $250,000 in grant funds and shows the diversity of the projects that we have funded. I'd like to point out that nearly one-fifth of these funds were awarded to on-road truck projects. As I mentioned earlier, that in addition to these four core funding sources I just discussed, staff also seeks out additional funding opportunities from state and federal agencies and the funding sources and other funding sources, so to further reduce emissions from mobile sources in the Bay Area. The charts on this slide shows the funds that were awarded to the Air District by the California Energy Commission, the Air Resource Board, U.S. Department of Energy, U.S. EPA, and other funding sources such as reformulated gasoline settlement fund. We can see that about 46% of these funds were awarded to the Bay Area Bike Share project, and 32% was awarded to electric vehicles and charging station projects. And now I'd like to talk about the what we can look forward to in calendar year 2017, starting with our funding priorities. Some of the priorities we have for 2017 include continuing to focus funds to care areas and treat corridors, focus on diesel emissions, especially from small fleets, locomotives, marine vessels, and agriculture and off-road equipment. We will also continue providing funding for advanced technologies and zero-emission technology projects that accelerate the deployment of plug-in electric vehicles and hydrogen electric vehicles and reduce the motor vehicle trips in the Bay Area. In addition to these continued efforts, the Air District will also be implementing some new initiatives in 2017, including establishing the new technology implementation office to support the advancement of zero-emissions vehicles, smart connected technologies, tracking development of new advanced technologies, research into new funding sources such as the Volkswagen settlement funds, participating in interagency work groups, and building a new online grant administration system. Regarding revenue projections for 2017, we are estimating close to approximately $62 million in total new revenue with funding from the four core renewable grant funding sources, Guzman, Comoir, MSF, and TFC. Note that for TFC, about $9 million will be passed through to the county program managers, and $5.7 million will be allocated to the new technology implementation office. And this concludes my presentation, and I'll be happy to answer any questions the committee may have.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Rebecca.
Thank you so much. Good morning. In terms of our next funding cycles that we're putting out there, and I think this is probably most applicable to TFCA, but feel free to let me know if this would be better from a different fund. I'm interested in making sure that we are able to fund a couple things. One, I know we're talking about the level of congestion a lot lately throughout the Bay Area, and the greatest underutilized resource we have is the three empty seats in each car coming over the bridge. And so programs to incentivize carpooling and create carpool matching, things like that. I want to make sure that that is, you know, potentially on the list. And then the other issue, as we've been working to try to roll out more electric car usage, is that there are not access to electric car in rental housing, including in affordable housing, which then makes it harder to have an equitable distribution of electric cars. So it would be interested in seeing electric car charging infrastructure for multifamily residential, including maybe a particular incentive if it's affordable housing, but frankly, all rental housing, this tends to be a problem that tenants don't have access. And so I'd be interested in your thoughts about whether that's already eligible or can be eligible or should be, or thank you.
Sure. So there was a couple questions. I'll start with the trip reduction strategy. So this is the year in review for 2016, but in terms of what we're doing for 2017, so you're absolutely correct. TFCA is the right fund for congestion relief. We fund a number of initiatives in 2017 that will work towards that. Certainly the Spare the Air program, which promotes use of alternative transportation, is an Air District-led program. We also did make an award, which we've made for decades, to MTC, who runs a 511.org program, and they are actually pivoting and expanding that program to not only be just a trip linking, but also working with the on-demand services and really working to expand the different types of resources that commuters would have access to, in addition to the commuter benefits program, which is also a joint partnership between the Air District and MTC. So we will be looking to continue funding that. That kind of recommendation will actually come forward, I believe, next month when we actually seek to look for your input on the funding plan. Yes, for the next year, but I'm telling you what we're doing currently. And then with respect to your question on electric vehicle technology, there's actually a lot of different things that are available for folks in rental or low-income housing. The first thing is just to let everyone know that our charge program, Cycle 3, just opened last week. Our first webinar for that will be on February 27th, so we're very excited. We have over 50 people registered so far for that webinar. And that does provide funding for multifamily dwelling. We don't offer funding for single occupancy homes, but if you're a multifamily apartment or structure, you are eligible. Also, there's a number of other kinds of initiatives that are available. I'll just mention we are working with ARB to try to bring a program that's called the EFMP, or the Enhanced Fleet Modernization Program. We believe that we will be successful. And what that program would do is actually very interesting. Folks who participate in the vehicle buyback program, if you retire an older car, you essentially would have an option to get a number of different kinds of funding or vouchers that could be used either for mass transit, so through Clipper, as well as additional funds depending on your income eligibility, that would provide funding for either a used hybrid or electric vehicle or even a new one if you choose to do so. So there's a variety of options there. And then the last thing I'll make a little plug for is PG&E also. This is a very interesting program, has been approved by the California Public Utilities Commission to provide up to 7,500 make-readies, which will be installed in workplaces and multifamily dwelling units. And for the multifamily dwelling units that are in certain communities that are identified through the CalEnviro screen, so that would include parts of Oakland, parts of Richmond, a few other select communities within the Bay Area, they also would be eligible in multifamily dwelling for up to 100% of the cost to install charging stations. So we're going to be working very closely with the PG&E team to ensure that as much of their funding can come to the Bay Area, because their funding is really not only for the Bay Area, but for their entire service area, which again goes outside of our area. So again, a lot of exciting opportunities. I'm not going to mention all of them, but you'll hear more about them when we come back in February.
Dave?
Yeah. Can you go to slide 15? I have to remember these as they go. And it talks about establishing the TIO, and you talked about a lot of different things that we were doing. Just as a reminder, one of the things we brought up yesterday at the executive committee meeting, and it seems to pop up every once in a while, was carbon sequestration. Would love to see where that could go in all of this as far as mitigation. Could you go to slide 3? To remember these as they go along. Slide 3. The bottom line, 63% to care areas. I noticed one of the things we're going to be talking about agenda item four, is the train. And just what we don't have in that call, I'll wait till we get there. Just want to draw the attention to the 63% care area. And the other one, and I didn't get the slide number because I know what the answer is going to be. I noticed that we talked about 99 of these autonomous vehicles in Contra Costa and Alameda. Now, if we were able to stick some of these in Santa Clara, so we get credit for this, right? I mean, it isn't just we got to come up with 72 of these darn things or you're taking the money back. We can stick them in Solano. We can...
There's an air quality benefit that needs to be derived from those vehicles as part of the grant funding. So we'll be able to work that out with our CMA partner. as those vehicles are deployed.
Just as a last thing, when you look at the Advisory Council's report yesterday, a ton of CO2 in Michigan is a ton of CO2 here. So if we...
I think we'll be able to work it out with them. Relative to carbon sequestration, these funding sources are more particular for mobile sources. So this might not be the funding source for that, but carbon sequestration and reducing carbon from energy, generation and other energy intensive processes is something that we're looking at very closely.
Nate?
Yeah, thank you. The 2017 priorities, continued focus on impacted communities and trade corridors. So does that align with the CARE communities?
Yes, it does. In terms of the, if you take a look at our CARE map there, the dark purple areas, those are the areas that are most impacted by toxics. And then the green areas are those that are impacted by our criteria pollutants, high ozone. So that continued focus on the mobility corridors and on the sources of goods movement is important because we still are seeing disproportionate impacts there relative to certain communities. As you remember, we had the discussion about the West Oakland community. That issue is not going away. That is still our highest impacted community. And it is our intention, I think, as staff to seek the board's approval to go back and spend some more money there over the upcoming years.
So the CARE communities are not the same as the trade corridors, right?
No, they're not exactly the same. But if you take a look at where the highest impacts are, those purple areas, it so happens they're all along highway corridors. So in certain areas they are.
Okay. So if 63% of the funding of the $70 million for 2016 was in CARE areas, and one slide said there was $38 million to projects in CARE areas, I'm trying to recall... over the course of time, have we gotten any indication of the results in terms of how emissions have been impacted?
Yeah, we have. We've seen the impacts specifically in West Oakland of the investment in the truck program, where we saw we had pre and post measurements for emissions, direct measurements for truck emissions that were done by UC Berkeley, and we saw those emissions reduce by 50% in the. That was in the 2010 timeframe, and we have a new report coming out that it's not official yet, but we've also seen additional emissions reductions there based on the direct investment of our dollars.
So, once again, this I'm trying to recall, would that report come to this committee? Which committee does that?
Executive Committee? As well, but okay. In terms of the impacts of the grant dollars or the report regarding the emissions in West Oakland?
I'm talking about the CARE communities. Trying to get a sense over time, it could be over the last 5 years, for the expenditure of dollars, how have we seen the effect in the CARE communities? And I'm suspecting we've seen a reduction, but I'm trying to recall I'm trying to visualize a report on that, have we had anything on that recently?
We produced our final CARE report, so we are looking to update our regional health risk numbers, which will lead us to that answer. So that's something we can bring back to either this committee or the executive committee.
I'd really appreciate if we could bring it here. Yeah.
Okay.
At some point. Okay.
All right. That sounds good.
Scott.
Thank you. So, I apologize. On this slide, what is the difference between the purple and the green?
The purple are the areas that are highest impacted by a number of different things. They're toxic air contaminants principally. They're the highest areas of toxic air contaminants. And then the green areas are those areas that are most highly impacted by episodic criteria pollutants. Those are things like ozone and PM.
So... For 20 years, I've sat here and drank the Kool-Aid that you guys have given me, and that Kool-Aid being that what happens in the 880 corridor settles in the Tri-Valley Basin in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. So if I continue to drink that Kool-Aid, one would tell me what's purple in the morning is purple in the afternoon. So why are we changing colors? Is it just because what's green is more effluent?
No. Okay. So then different measurements.
Well, are you telling me that the mountains filter the air, so the pollutants? Are you telling me the pollutants are heavier, therefore they don't travel? What are you telling me?
Exactly. The principal driver in the purple areas is diesel particulate matter, toxic diesel particulate matter.
And they don't travel?
It travels to a certain extent, but the highest impact from it is within, you know, about 500 meters of the highways where it's emitted. That does travel into the valley, and it does cause exceedances there of ozone and particulate matter from time to time. But in terms of its health risk, it's not quite as high as it is in those purple areas.
I need you guys to come out there and have dinner with me. Because those trucks go out that way to Highway 5. So I don't understand how they clean up as they head out 580. This is where I continue to struggle with the Air District. And I can bring you pictures if you just don't want to come out with me. But maybe the new air monitoring site will help.
I think that will help.
But I just don't understand how all of a sudden these diesel particulates just go away.
Well, if I can, Damien, it isn't so much that they go away. It's actually just different, yes, actually, out there. It's different. It's as bad. But you have atmospheric chemistry at work out in the
But it's Livermore. A basin, so it should be worse. It's more than
and sometimes, yeah, it is.
It's
it
an
is
inverted
worse.
Layer.
Because you have elevated levels of PM in the form of ammonium nitrate, ammonium sulfate, diesel particulate. It's just a mix of things. That's why we put it that way. It's you have an impact of the diesel trucks going by plus this ozone plus this PM. And so we wanted to distinguish it because it has to do with largely with the funding sources, things like that.
How much
1B monies will be for the green areas, Moyer and other things would be targeting for the CARE program. That's largely what's going on here.
Well,
it's designed to make sure.
When will we start getting data from the air monitoring system out there?
We're still a ways away. We've just moved forward on the siting and buying the actual equipment. So it probably take, I think, at least 6 to 8 months after that gets up and we've got the
6 to 8 months. We're not going to be out there for the summer.
Yeah, we need to be out there for the summer.
Well, we'll be out there for next summer and we'll be out there for winter. So
summer.
I mean, we'll get a baseline.
Damien, for this summer, not next summer.
Right. It's.
Well,
it's
I mean, come on. This is a freaking trailer. I mean, how hard can this be?
Well, let us come back to you and let you know.
Who's
exactly.
the problem? Are you having problems with the city of Dublin? Who's the problem?
No.
You're
talking about wanting to have a full year's worth of data. That's what David is responding to. He's being technical with you, but we'll be able to stream you data from the trailer. That's no problem. So, but typically for things like this, you want a full year's worth of data so we can do a QAQC, that kind of thing. Dr. Haggerty. So.
Yeah, I don't want to be argumentative, but I'm really just having a problem understanding because I see, you know, I live out there. I fight with the trucks. I drive with them. I know they're going that way. I mean, I can tell you when the mega ships are in town, and I can tell you when just the regular containers or container ships are in town, and I know the trucks are heading that way. And quite frankly, you know, the amount of truck traffic that's going out 580 is absolutely incredible. And I just don't know how we can assert that when they get over the Castro Valley grade or as they head up the Castro Valley grade or the Dublin grade, they're all of a sudden clean. It just intuitively, it doesn't make sense to me.
And I don't think we're trying to imply that it's clean. We should have probably used a different color other than green.
But it is rather pretty.
Yeah, we're just trying to distinguish purple. We'll use
another
color next time.
Now allow Hudson to chime in.
Well, I'll wait till later.
Okay, I'm going to take the chair's prerogative. This is a big pet peeve of mine. There's no legend on slide 14. And that might go to helping what Scott's saying, because the public, I was going to ask the same question, and that's why I turned around, because I thought, what am I, and what it says is continued focus on impacted communities and trade corridors. So I thought, okay, but you don't know which one's which. So this may be a map that we use all the time and place into PowerPoints, but we need to start putting legends. And I would suggest that that green become another color.
Black.
Well, whatever. Something, because I think what Scott's talking about, if you said purple are the impacted communities that relate mainly to diesel, and then whatever the new color is are areas that are impacted by diesel and blah, blah, blah. That probably, because again, the public is going to get this, and you don't, I'm like, okay, impacted communities, is that the green ones? And the trade corridors, like you also said earlier, we all know that those are the major trade corridors other than the green. So we just really need to put legends on slides when they're not clear. Karen, you were talking about multiple dwelling units. Question I have, are those for the individual, let's just say it's a condominium, because I live in a condominium. Is that for the homeowners association to apply for the grant? It's not an individual person applying for
correct.
A grant?
Correct. Okay. Or the property manager, if right, whoever has the authority to make those changes for the building.
And PG&E, could you go over that again, what you were talking about when you were responding
sure.
to something?
They actually, they were approved for a program. It's a $130 million program. They're in the process of building that program right now. It's expected to launch later this year, probably sometime in the fall. Essentially, the program really has two tracks. One track is for home multifamily dwelling units, and the other track is for workplaces.
So, is this a grant from the Air Board or another source?
This is actually going to be paid for through the rate structure.
I see.
So they received approval to tinker with the rates in order to provide the $130 million for this program. And I will just take a second to mention that they are in the process of filing for additional other programs that would provide funding for heavy-duty installations and other kinds of things, which we actually would find very beneficial for the region. But this particular program, which has been approved by the CPUC and is going to launch this fall, so I mentioned two tracks, one for MDUs and one for workplaces. For MDUs, they will provide either 100% of the cost for MDUs that are located in qualifying areas. These are low-income areas identified through CalEnviro Screen. And they would provide up to 50% of a rebate for all other MDUs that qualify. So it's actually a very substantial benefit for MDUs. Workplaces, it's a little less generous. I think it starts at 50% of the cost for ones that are in the qualifying areas and up to 25% of a rebate. So we anticipate that those folks, the workplaces that are getting the least amount of benefit from the PG&E program, those are the ones that will likely work with the Air Districts program. The other ones will likely get enough benefit from PG&E that PG&E will be able to take care of them.
Well, and thank you. And as we get ready for the report for our next board meeting, and I'm always appreciative that staff prepares a report for the chair to read, but I think we need to go into a little bit more depth, or at least bullet points, instead of receive report on, because I think this information the rest of our colleagues would benefit from. I'm not sure they all would read the minutes and or watch us. So maybe a little bit more, not the whole thing, but bullet point. PG&E has program, 100% goes here, 50% goes there. Okay. Just if they're looking at it, it piques their interest and they can follow up with staff.
Well, what I might suggest is we could follow on with an email that goes to all board members, notifying them of those programs and kind of describing them.
And that's great, Damien. Where I'm going for, again, is the public. As part of the public record, as people are looking at this. One of the things that we really need to do, I don't mean we, the Air Board, I mean we as governmental agencies, is to show how our various agencies touch people. And they don't, there's not a connection. If there's going to be, and I'm not speaking for or against it, but I know MTC is looking for a new regional measure next year. People think, why am I going to be paying more taxes? Why is my PG&E bill going up? What have you? This is just, we got to hit them in various different ways. Not everybody goes to a website. Not everybody reads minutes. So that's where I'm going with that. You mentioned that we spent $70 million this year, and we're going to spend the projection is $62 million. Why is there an $8 million loss?
That's because the California goods movement bond is going away.
Okay, thank you. And Nate brought up that 63% was spent in CARES communities, and then there's a bullet point that over $38 million. $38 million isn't 63% of $70 million. So, again, just clarification when people look at this.
Thank you. It's 63% of the $61 million. So it's the dollars that the Air District awards directly, because out of the $79 million goes to the CMAs. And so we don't really have...
You need a little paragraph.
Yeah. So actually, it might even be higher, but we just don't have specific information on that.
And
sure.
That helps. If there are people out there that look at all this stuff.
Thank
you. I know when you're preparing a report, done it a lot of times myself, you think, okay, everybody will understand this, and you need to have another set of eyes sometimes. Are there any other questions or concerns? Okay.
Madam Chair, if I can real briefly, because there was an exchange there about our CARE program in terms of an update, and I just, for clarification, the board itself is going to be considering the update to our air quality management plan, actually, and you'll hear a full briefing of that plan on March 1st. That's as part of the board meeting. And we hope to make sure that we can have you consider it at the April 19th board meeting. Thank you, Henry, for adoption. As part of the plan presentation, there'll be a conversation about the CARE program, the disparities that exist in different communities, and you'll see some of these maps, and we'll make sure they all have legends and it's as clear as possible for you. But I wanted to make sure you knew that this update is part of the plan is going through. We'll also, I think at that time, give you a little bit of a preview of a study that was done by UC Berkeley that shows that their diesel particulate levels have dropped in the West Oakland community by as much as half.
Well, that's what Nate was asking for.
Mm-hmm. And then finally, there is going to be, we're right now working on it, but there's going to be a complete update of the CARE program, including the improvements we're seeing out in the Tri-Valley area to come out in the fall. So it takes a little bit longer. It requires a lot of input and work with CARB and others. So I just, Madam Chair, and for you and the committee, I just want to let you know that those are all ongoing.
Thank you. David,
Yeah, it's easy just to let this go. I would ask that the key point that you brought up is the legend, so that you understand what the colors are. I would be a little bit more concerned than we seem to be here about changing the colors of these things. I disagree with you. The green, you can read what's underneath the green. That's what's really important. I now know where 680 is. I know where the county line is. You can read 580, 680. You can't in the purple. So, I mean, before we dig down into changing colors and stuff like that, I think the legibility is more important. You want to change it a few shades or something, but I mean, the reality here is I know where you're going with the green, but the green works when you got yellow underneath it.
Well, I'll leave that to staff. There are a number of colors that you can read through. It's the size of the map too, because when you look up here, you can read it better than you can there, so maybe the expansion. But all right, without any further ado, we're going to accept that report. That didn't require action. We now have a quorum. Mr. Kim, Mr. Haggerty, and Mr. Miley have joined us. So I'm sorry, Mr. Ju. I'm sorry. Thank you. We are going to go now to the approval of the minutes of January 26th. Do I have a motion?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Motion carries. On to item 4, which are projects and contracts with proposed grant awards over $100,000.
Thank you, Director Mitchoff. And leading us through this presentation, we have Adam Shapiro, who will be leading us through this presentation.
Good morning.
Good morning, Chairperson Mitchoff and members of the Mobile Source Committee. I'm here today to present to you agenda item number 4, which is the consideration of approval of project with proposed grant awards over $100,000. I'll start by providing some background information on the Carl Moyer program. Then I'll go into the details of the proposed projects. And finally, I'll conclude with our staff's recommendations. The district has participated in the Carl Moyer program since it was created in 1998. The program is voluntary and aims to reduce emissions from heavy-duty diesel engines that are not yet regulated. The program is jointly administrated by the Air Resources Board and the local air districts. It provides funding to both public and private entities. In addition to Carl Moyer funding, the Mobile Source Incentive Fund, or MSIF, is the district's funding source authorized by Assembly Bill 923. The bill authorizes the district to collect an additional $2 DMV registration fee to be used to fund additional eligible Carl Moyer and lower emission school bus projects. On March 16, 2016, the district's board of directors approved participation in year 18 of the Carl Moyer program and authorized the executive officer to execute contracts and amendments of grant awards of up to $100,000. Year 18 project applications are currently being accepted and evaluated on a first-come, first-served basis. Before you for consideration today are three Carl Moyer projects with individual grant awards over $100,000. These recommended projects will replace four diesel-powered tractors and two diesel-powered passenger locomotives for a total proposed allocation of $5,624,910 in program funds. These projects will reduce over a 21.1 tons of emissions per year. More information on these projects can be found in Attachment 1 to the staff report. This slide provides more detail on the proposed locomotive project. The project will replace two older 1998 Tier 0 Plus locomotives with two new, cleanest available Tier 4 passenger locomotives for the San Joaquin Regional Rail Commission's ACE service. These locomotives provide daily passenger service between San Jose and Stockton, with each locomotive burning roughly 86,000 gallons of diesel fuel per year. The recommended project will reduce more than 17.5 tons of emissions per year and allow for expanded passenger capacity with the new higher horsepower locomotives. The total cost of the project is estimated to be $15 million. $7.5 million of this cost is covered by cap and trade funds provided by the San Joaquin Regional Rail Commission as part of a larger award from the California State Transportation Agency. Because of the significant emission reductions associated with replacing the older, higher polluting locomotives, the San Joaquin Valley Air Pollution Control District and the Bay Area Air Quality Management District are working together to cover the remaining cost by using a combination of $2.5 million in Carl Moyer Year 17 multi-district funds and $2.5 million in Air District Carl Moyer and Mobile Source Incentive funds, and $2.5 million in funding from the San Joaquin Valley Air Pollution Control District. It's important to note that the multi-district funds are different than the annual Carl Moyer program funds, and that they were awarded to the Air District by the Air Resources Board for projects that reduce emissions in multiple air districts. I'd also like to note that we have Brian Schmidt, a representative with ACE, here this morning to answer any questions that you might have for him. These charts...
Long way from home.
Did you want to ask questions now or wait till the end of the presentation?
No, I just see the lights.
Well, no.
I'm happy to wait.
Okay. Go ahead
okay.
and finish
up. Great, thanks. These charts represent the total Year 18 Carl Moyer program funding allocated to date, including those of proposed grant awards over $100,000 being considered today. The charts show allocations broken down by equipment category and county. The total amount of funding allocated to date is about $7.6 million, including all projects under and over $100,000. More detailed information regarding these projects can be found in Attachment 2 to the staff report. These additional charts represent the total Carl Moyer program funding allocated since April of 2009. Similar to the previous charts, the charts shown have been broken down by equipment category and county. The total amount of funds allocated for eligible projects is around $134 million awarded to 787 total projects. In conclusion, staff requests that the committee recommend to the Board of Directors to approve Carl Moyer program projects with proposed grant awards over $100,000 as identified in Attachment 1 to the staff report, and to authorize the executive officer to enter into agreements for the recommended projects. That concludes my presentation, and we'll be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you. I'm going to start at this end this time. Mr. Jew, did you have any questions?
I did. If the gentleman from ACE could t-
tell me the difference between a Tier 0 locomotive versus a Tier 4, I'd appreciate it just for...
Actually, our staff could have told you.
Good morning, committee members. Brian Schmidt. The difference, well, it's a lot cleaner, for one thing. In the staff report attachment, one shows the reduction in NOx, ROG, and PMs. So the difference, what we're looking at, especially with this locomotive, right now we're 3,200 horsepower locomotives, which we can pull 7 cars at capacity at speed. The new locomotives we're looking at, all the Tier 4, around 5,400 horsepower, so we'll be able to pull up to 10 vehicles. So what we're doing is we're increasing seating capacity by about 420 seats. So just rough calculations we did. Adding the 3 cars, we'd add 420 seats at 2 trips each way. We'd be reducing about 212,000 trips per day, per year, between Stockton and San Jose. Average trip length is right about 70 miles for both directions. So we'd be reducing VMT by almost 15 million. So I think the big thing to address your question is it is a lot cleaner. We're getting all the emissions down. They have an afterburn system, which reduces them as well. The state of California has purchased 6 Tier 4 locomotives for the San Joaquin service as well as the Capital Corridor service. They're looking at purchasing another 14 when funding is available. So everyone's trying to get to these clean locomotives.
Thank you.
Anybody here?
Oh, I'll jump in.
Sure.
I want to thank, first of all, the Air District staff, Damien. I know you've been wanting the ACE people to step up and get involved in this for quite a while, not just recently, but I think a few years now. So I want to thank you for being diligent in dragging Brian to the table. And as a member of the ACE board, I want to thank Brian for getting to the table and finally getting this done. It's been a goal of mine because getting back to the issue of pollutants in the Tri-Valley, this train travels through the Tri-Valley. And as a member of the ACE board and somebody that's really excited about the ACE service and what goes on, last night I saw the ACE train travel through coming out of Niles Canyon, as a matter of fact, and it was at capacity. It actually looked like there was some people standing in the top of the top car. So I was really kind of proud to see, you know, we've had some rough times with the service these last few weeks because of some days we weren't able to run just because of the weather. And, you know, it's been a rough couple weeks for us with everything that's been going on with UP and everything. But people really enjoy this service. I think with the added capacity, we can continue to move people out of their single occupancy vehicle coming over the Altamont and get them on the train. So I really want to thank staff. I want to thank Brian and the crew at ACE.
Anybody over here? Dave?
Yeah, I saved that slide 3 of the 63% to get into what I get after, but why he's up here, I want to make sure I understand this. We're only purchasing engines, and the engines can carry more cars. There's nothing, we're not upgrading cars or anything like that.
No.
We are not going to run into the problem that we have at Embarcadero, where we increase the capacity of the cars, and you can't even get them off the platform. I mean, these platforms at these stops can handle this.
Well, part of the cap and trade grant we received this last year is to extend the platforms to accommodate longer trains. So this in conjunction with the locomotives.
Which platforms are the problem? I mean, you don't have problems in the Alameda. Embarcadero is a joke. I mean, we're not creating another Embarcadero in Pleasanton, are we?
No, we'll be extending Vasco Road Station, the Livermore Station, Pleasanton Station.
Okay, it comes as part. All right.
Yeah, it's part of the big package.
Are these things less noisy by any chance? I don't want to have a supervisor in here saying it woke me up.
I don't think the it's a train engine. So noise.
I hope it has a loud bell.
Railroad track.
The other thing that and this probably can bring it. This isn't for you, but Damien, is when we would do these attachments, et cetera, there used to be a last box that said care area or not. Well, two things. One, when you look at what we're looking at on four, it says Contra Costa gets 1%. Personally, because of this train, we're getting a heck of a lot more than 1%. The next thing is that this 63%, the way I'm reading this, this $5 million really goes along. Because this is a care area, mm-hmm. episodic zone, we're making a big stride towards a lot of money into a care area.
Yes, we are.
I'm reading this correctly.
Yes, you are.
Okay.
The reason that we don't put the care criteria on the Karen Moyer program is we're not allowed to impose local criteria on that program. We are, but we haven't imposed those criteria on that particular program. So we evaluate it on the state criteria. And then later on, as we go through and the project gets done, we take credit for those dollars for care as part of our program so we can show the overall dollars that are contributed there.
I'm just more interested in kind of where Scott was going earlier. When you're doing things right, you line up better for other funds.
Yes.
Okay.
Rebecca?
Yes, thank you. In terms of the wonderfulness of doing this with ACE, I'm very pleased, and I won't just repeat everything Commissioner Haggerty said. I'll just say ditto. I'm thrilled that's happening. I understand there's potentially some discussions underway about going to the better locomotives for the short-haul trains at the Port of Oakland. So that would, that's obviously, this is allocations that have already been allocated, and that hasn't happened yet. But that, is that eligible for this program?
We've had an ongoing conversation with the Port of Oakland about their trains there.
Yes.
It's been,
and I'm trying to encourage trying to encourage them in that direction. Yeah. So, yeah,
we've had a discussion with ACE, and we've had a conversation with the Port of Oakland. So it's long ongoing. We've provided at least four offers of funding for trains there, including full funding from DERA, which somehow managed to escape a number of years ago. We offered $700,000 for each of those trains 3 years ago. Somehow, still didn't get done. So. We're trying to look at it right now for available funding sources. There is a problem in that the locomotives are not doing a lot of activity right now.
They're about to.
Yeah, about to, we can't give them credit for. We tried that and they refused the grant. So we're looking at all available funding sources, and we will be hopefully coming back to you with a recommendation on that in the future. But right now, I think it's fair to say that we probably have to apply for either federal or state funding that we don't currently have to get those trains taken care of.
Okay, so I'm happy to follow up with you because I'm also, as Scott was saying with regard to Gates, I'm also pushing the port to also step it up because it could be a good partnership. And then lastly, I just wanted to share, we'd had some talks about what it would take to get to some of these new technology zero emission trucks. That, you know, the trucks are such a large share of the pollution, and yet the sort of zero-emission truck technology isn't really there yet. And so I've been talking to friends in the hydrogen fuel cell pilot program world, which I was part of at AC Transit, and it's been very successful, the hydrogen fuel cell bus pilot program. And I learned that one of the people I work closely with at AC Transit who did the hydrogen fuel cell buses is now working in with a partnership program to pilot hydrogen fuel cell trucks in Southern California. And since AC Transit is looking to have a new bus yard with a new hydrogen fueling center, we may be able to do a joint bus and truck hydrogen fueling center. And so I just wanted to share that there is now some work being done on these hydrogen fuel cell trucks, and that we could potentially bring that program up to the Bay Area as well, and potentially with the buses and the trucks that need the same fueling infrastructure to do that.
Yes. So relative to on-road trucks, we have a pilot program rolling out this summer that puts about 17 trucks on the road at the Port of Oakland. They're battery electric trucks. They're geofenced hybrid trucks from three major companies. And we just applied for additional funding for two additional demonstrations for hydrogen vehicles at the port. So we haven't got any word on funding for that yet, but this is an area that we're actively exploring. and we'd be happy to talk to Jamie about those about those additional trucks if we can get them up in this area.
Wonderful. Thank you. Scott, you had another comment?
I was just curious, Brian. Have you, just for one of my colleagues' edification, have you done any license plate surveys out of Pleasanton to see how many people ride out of San Ramon on the train?
Oh,
we have no. How many?
I'll get you the.
I will get you the report. We get a monthly report at County Connection, just of those, and I will double check and match it against Bishop Ranch's numbers through Chris Weeks. I'll call him today.
Okay.
But we do get a monthly on it.
And I know they for Ace Forward, they did do a survey of passengers in Pleasanton where they were coming from when they got on the train, so I can get back to you on that.
Yeah, because I'm interested in raising the rates of the parking out there.
You, it's zero.
Yeah, right. Don't go messing with that.
All right. With that, may I have a motion along the lines of staff's thank you in a second? All right. It's been moved and seconded that we take the recommendation that we approve the Carl Moyer program for those grants over $100,000 and that we authorize our staff to enter into all necessary agreements. Any further discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you. Motion carries. On to item six, then, which is the participation. That was over $100,000 now. Hello. We're going to have additional information on year 19 for Carl Moyer. Thank you.
So Tina McCree, our supervising air quality specialist, in that. Or staff specialist in that program will lead us to. This is where we talk about some more trains. I think we're going to have another discussion about trains, and we actually have to make the motion to accept additional funding from the state for this year's program. Tina?
Good morning, Chairperson Mitchoff and members of the Mobile Source Committee. Today I'll present to you agenda item number six, recommending participation in year 19 funding cycle for the Carl Moyer program and allocating funds for the 2017 Caltrain funding plan. I'll start with some background.
Can I interrupt you? I'm sorry, because obviously I'm having a problem. Okay. We already voted for how to expend 2017 funds.
Correct.
This is the allocation.
This is accepting new money from
this
the state.
Oh, new going forward. Yeah. Yes.
You got new money
for this coming year. Yes, and I'll go into a little of the background about.
Am I the only one that didn't?
Why we're talking about this funding right now?
Shut up.
Lots of Carl Moyer today.
Well, I guess I'm just confused as to how this all rolls in with the federal government's action today.
We'll talk about that. I'm certain there'll be questions about that as we get through the presentation.
Okay, sorry about that, folks.
Okay,
thank you.
So I'll talk about the background of the programs and the funding sources, and then I'll conclude with staff's recommendations.
Is it the same report? We get the same background.
I'll try to zip through it a little bit. Two of the funding sources are identical.
Anything that's new.
As we've heard several times today, we've participated in Carl Moyer since 1998, since the program was created. And this Carl Moyer program runs off of both the Carl Moyer state funds and the MSIF funding, which is local DMV surcharge. Okay. All right. And so what we're talking about today is the upcoming funding cycle for the Carl Moyer program. It's called year 19.
That's what I thought. So that's different.
Fiscal year 2016 and 17 funds.
I'm not worried about that.
Okay.
We're doing in the future.
The new year.
But somehow new money has come in for.
Well, yes. we have submitted an application.
And if it
for
comes
the in upcoming cycle.
So what happens is there's each year the state gives us an allocation of funding. In order for us to do that, we need a resolution from the board to actually accept that funding. So we're allocating from 17, 18. We're going to get disbursement because you've already approved, and now we're applying for next year's funding. So that requires a resolution from our board of directors.
Thank you. Okay, so for year 19. $58.9 million of Carl Moyer program funding from the state is available to air districts statewide. In January 2017, our district submitted an application to the Air Resources Board requesting $10,650,000 to implement a program for year 19. Up to 6.25% of this award can be used to support the administrative costs of the program, and districts are required to provide matching funds in their applications from sources like MSIF. Our district proposed $1.8 million of matching funds, and staff is requesting the board to meet this required match and also to expand the program by allocating a total of $3 million from MSIF to support additional Carl Moyer program projects. The Carl Moyer program is administered statewide according to the guidelines issued by ARB, and in accordance with Assembly Bill 1390, 50% of the funding from Carl Moyer must be spent for projects that reduce emissions in highly impacted communities, which we've discussed quite a bit this morning. For year 19, we'll continue to follow our existing process to identify and prioritize these projects, which is based on the CARE program here at the Air District. Projects with proposed awards of more than $100,000 will continue to be brought to this committee for your consideration. And staff plans to open the solicitation period for new applications for this program in late spring 2017. So we're looking at the March-April time period, perhaps, on a first-come, first-served basis. And that goes until funds are exhausted. It's a little confusing tracking what the Carl Moyer program years are called. And this is called year 19. Because all of the grant agreements for this program have to be executed by the Air District by June 30th, 2018, and all of the funds for the program have to be expended by June 30th of 2019. That's where the year 19 comes from.
That all makes sense.
We have to remind ourselves every day. It's quite confusing. Okay. And our request today also includes your consideration of the annual allocation of MSIF funds to support our commitment to the Caltrain Electrification Project, which was approved by the board in July 2015. The district executed the grant agreement for this project on January 7th, 2016, and in March of last year, they approved the initial $13 million funding plan. And requested that staff prepare and bring for consideration each year a funding plan to allocate additional funds until the entire commitment for the project was met. The district agreed to provide a total of $20 million for this project from annual MSIF revenues through 2020. And for 2017, staff is proposing to allocate $3 million from MSIF. This will be the annual allocation. That brings the allocation to date to $16 million, and will return in future years with updates to the funding plan until the entire $20 million allocation has been authorized.
I know Scott's in the other room, but I am going to interrupt. I think this is the appropriate time. Can you talk about the federal issue here?
Okay.
Scott, can you hear us back there?
So, you waited until they were out of the room.
So Caltrain has been notified by the federal government that the $678 million of matching funding for this project has been put on hold, that there's a decision made as part of the federal 2018 budget. We've talked with them extensively about, you know, what the chances are, but under the new administration, it's very hard to tell at the moment how this project will
fail. If you can figure things out, you should go make your $1 million or $2 million.
Yeah. So we know that Republicans from the Central Valley en masse sent a letter to Congress to essentially bring about this particular event. As that funding has been put on hold. You know, we as staff are still recommending that we continue forward providing the matching funding, because assuming at some point that the project does get approved, you want to show that the match is viable and you want to show that there are real dollars on the other side of this.
So is this in a savings account, or are they spending some of this money as planning?
So the idea for this particular funding is that it actually replaces the trains themselves.
No, I understand that. But if we don't get this huge chunk of money from the feds and we've paid $20 million, what happens?
We have contracts, so the funding needs to come back to us.
I see. All right.
Yeah. So the I think that the process right now is that the track electrification comes first, and then the purchase of trains comes later. We've been putting this money aside for them for that purpose. And we come back to you every year because even though a board a couple of years ago decided that this was a good idea, each year we come back and check with you to see if you're going to honor the commitment of the 20
million. Absolutely. Rebecca, you had a question? Then I'll go to Dave Kenipa, and then I'll come to Dave Hudson.
Thank you so much, and I really appreciate both the agendized report but also the discussion about how we can work to preserve the Caltrain electrification project in the face of the federal silliness, which is the most polite word I can think of. And I'm fully prepared to approve this. I absolutely think we should make clear that we are still all in, but I'd like us to go beyond that. I'd like us to start doing some real advocacy around this project and doing outreach to the federal government. As the chairperson of our CMA in Alameda County, I will be going to lobby federal government on various transportation issues, and I believe Commissioner Haggerty will be coming as well in late March. So we could potentially bring this up as well, but I think there really needs to be an advocacy effort, I mean, in partnership, obviously, with Caltrain and the advocates, but I think it's worth it for our agency, as we have invested in this, to speak out on it formally. And I also think we could help perhaps reframe it, because there are certain people who are determined to throw what they see as Jerry Brown's high-speed rail and get rid of it. And I don't feel like those of us who've been fighting for Caltrain electrification for 15 years now, which includes me, even though I live on the other side of the bay, need to make clear the point to these federal people that these are separate projects and that Caltrain electrification is vital to American economic competitiveness so as to not destroy the productivity of Silicon Valley, and that this project has been on the project list since before Jerry Brown was ever elected or fantasized about his high-speed rail, and that if they are determined to throw his high-speed rail under the bus, they can do so without killing Caltrain electrification, and that this project existed before and has its own reasons. And I, in terms of the advocacy, I'm not sure anyone has really made those points about how Caltrain electrification in and of itself is needed, and I don't know if that should be us or should be someone else.
Well, I think it's the CMAs.
The CMAs can do that, yeah.
Because we're just matching funds. But I get where you're going.
But at least just to make clear that
the point has been made at MTC. That point has been made at MTC.
Dave?
Sure. First of all, I just want to thank Rebecca Kaplan for, you know, having a regional perspective. Sometimes we may get caught up in our own areas. But I wanted to address your comment specifically because it was very powerful in how you said it. What you said is they didn't say no, they said not now. And sometimes the message being put out there is that it's no. And so the last time I checked, Mr. Haggerty, and yeah, I pointed you out, there's an election every 4 years. And so a couple things.
Are you saying I'm vulnerable?
No,
vulnerable?
Jerry will be
gone. You've been there for 20 years.
Jerry will be gone.
No, I'm saying whoever's
Jerry
vulnerable,
Brown.
Okay? But the point being is clearly this, is that the monies are there. I remember when I was on the Bay Area Quality Management District a couple years ago that we appropriated some additional dollars. Caltrain, needs it more than ever. So I think we should move forward. I don't see any additional comments, but with that, Madam
Chair.
Well,
we're not ready for – she hasn't finished her report.
Got it.
I just stopped at this part because it seemed appropriate. Dave Hudson, and then we'll get back to the report.
Yeah, I heard something – and I want to be clear about it. It's Samuel Keane called for this stop.
It was Republicans from the California caucus who happened to be, you know, in Orange County, San Joaquin, those areas.
Okay.
And I've been working with them on water. They're just entrenched on anything that either is good or bad. So I wish whoever goes back to D.C. a lot of luck. Mm-hmm. And but I appreciate the point that Dave Kenipa made that it's not no, it's not now.
Yeah, I'd like to elaborate. To me, I know when something changes, it's easy to say it's silliness or whatever. To me, this is not silliness. You have You got a new...
No, the silliness is...
I know, but it's not silliness. It's apprehension that, wait a minute, which direction have we been going? I think this is a golden opportunity to have a value project pitched. And where I'm really going with this, I know one of these, I said Sam O'Keen, one of these representatives, I was in his office January 18th, 17th, and I'm trying to pitch that our CMA add this guy to the list. And I would like to walk in there and tell him, look, yeah, I'm Republican. I want this. And along these lines of this is a very valuable project to the Bay Area. And I think that's where Rebecca was going with this. Yeah. And so we need to, you know, sometime between now and Friday, I need to know how valuable this is, if you've got anything.
Yeah, I think we do have good statistics. The point that Director Kaplan makes and that Director Haggerty is making is that, Director Canepa is, you know, this project has become conflated with the high-speed rail, and they're two different things. This is, in our opinion, you know, a local capacity building, air quality transportation project. And I think if that is the way that it's pitched to the folks in the capital, they will look a lot more favorably on it than saying, hey, this is a piece of high-speed rail. I know that there is a number of efforts ongoing to do that outreach. So I think it's wise for the board that we would reach out to our friends at Caltrans and see how we could add our voice to that effort.
You all have a lot more optimism than I do, because I see it as they know what's going on. It's anyway. All right, let's go back to your report.
Chairness, can I add one more comment? So I think this gets back to what we were talking about when we had our retreat, where this is a key moment where this body can also collaborate with others to show that leadership. I think part of it goes to, you know, strategically saying we're going to put our best foot forward in terms of the allocation of money, because we believe in this project, we believe in the program and the jobs and the economic benefits it's going to bring. And we should be helping that. If that conversation is happening through CMA, we can work through them. But we need to be supporting that every step of the way by saying we're continuing to take action. We're continuing to see how this is going to benefit all of our communities and areas. And so if CMA isn't doing that, like, we should step up and take that role or make whatever push we can.
I don't disagree, but in the paper, it said that the Bay Area Council went down and specifically met with Representative McCarthy.
Correct.
And they couldn't get anywhere. So before we step out, we need to check with them to find out what their feedback is, what message he was willing to or not willing to listen to.
Yeah.
Because I'd like to think they made the same pitches. I'm not saying we shouldn't keep doing it. But if they also put in high-speed rail, we don't want to do that. But if they did, what can we learn from their visit that we might be able to tweak a little? Nate?
Yeah, I just want to say something, because I'm just a little, you know, I support what we want to do, but I'm more in line with the way Damien phrased it. We should talk to Caltrain. Talk to the CMAs, see how we can add our voice or be supportive. I don't think we should be taking the lead. We're a regulatory body. That's not our role. Yep. Let the CMAs, MTC, whoever, take the lead. We're kind of, you know, a part of the choir, and we're not the lead agency on this. So I just think we should stay in our lane.
Well, I don't disagree. I think part of it is that we sit on multiple bodies. It's just that we can carry the Air District message on the environmental impacts along with that. So moving on and back to the second bullet point or arrow where we were on slide six. Oh, you've already moved to slide six. That's fine. That's fine. Yeah. So that completes your report?
Yes.
All right. So anything else other than what we shared? Okay, it moved and seconded to adopt the resolution for the receipt of your program year 19 Cromwire funds, allocate the $3 million in mobile source incentive funding for the matching funds, and approve the proposed 2017 funding plan for the Caltrain electrification projects.
I'll move it.
I thought
you moved it.
The right to
It's been moved and seconded. I'll leave it up to Marcy. Do you know who did the first part and the second? Any further discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed say no. Motion carries. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Director Hudson.
And with that, do we have any other comments by committee? Of course, Mr. Hudson.
Yeah, I wanted to bring this up when Scott invited you out to lunch. He didn't say who was paying, but he invited you out to lunch. I really think he's understating it. You want to see how bad it is. Make the overnight trip back from L.A. and go through Patterson and Wesley. No less than 1,000 trucks lighting up their engines anytime from 3 o'clock on, which to me concerns me because I think it's colder on that side and the stuff's moving this way. But it's real. I mean, this, and I'm saying this because someone during this said you're going to get a Tri-Valley report that things are better. It can't be better if we keep sending more trucks in. And it isn't just a matter of where we are at this point in time. There are going to be more trucks coming in. I don't think they have enough space to park them all. But those two places alone, Wesley and Patterson, I'll bet you can count 1,000 trucks tonight.
Scott?
Jack, Damien, evidently the end of me is not important. No, Damien, I'd like us to rethink the what we do about when we...
There's Jack.
Jack, I know you were back there. It's not that big a deal. It's really not that big a deal. Damien can handle this. It's not that big a deal. I just looked up and didn't see you, so I thought I'd pick on you. You know, when we do these, when we do the repowering of the trucks and the filters and all this stuff that we do, we put our stickers on the side of these trucks, and I really think we should rethink that, because there's some pretty ratty trucks that are out running around with our stickers on them, and I think it's really sending the wrong message, to be really honest with you.
This truck could do more airborne.
Some of these dirt haulers with our stickers on them, quite frankly, when I see them on the freeway or some of these container trucks, first of all, they look dangerous. Some of them are missing parts of their fenders. They have lights hanging off them. They don't even look safe, but yet they have a nice Bay Area Air Quality Management District sticker on them. And it just doesn't, I think, serve the image we want. So I think we need to rethink that policy.
Agreed.
Okay.
One comment relative to that is, you know, a lot of those are old port trucks at this point that are in other services. We are going to be coming back to this committee to talk to you about some of the work that we've done with UC Berkeley. And the idea is that going forward, we're going to have a fairly strong enforcement program to deal with some of those issues.
Okay.
Or you don't get the sticker if your car looks... Whatever.
Or if you're out there with a truck that's not supposed to be out there, you're going to have some problems.
Good. Dave, did you have a comment? Your light. I'm sorry, Scott, were you finished?
Yes, I'm just too lazy to turn off my microphone.
And you didn't have one on. Goodbye. All right, with that, I figured that out. Okay, we will meet again 4 weeks from today on March 23rd right here at 9:30. Thank you all. Meeting is adjourned. Could you turn me on? Oh.